Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have a chance today to open your word and just to have a chance to look at our lives, look at something like church membership and think through what it means to be a member of a body that has many different parts and many different people and many different gifts and many different abilities and also many different struggles and weaknesses and that we get to come together as one family. And so I thank you for the opportunity, and I pray that as we enter into your word today that you will guide us, and through your Holy Spirit that you will convict us and help us to be more closely aligned with your will today. In your name, amen. Well, in the book, I Am a Church Member, Tom Raymer introduces the book by telling a tale of two church members. And he tells a story about two different church members, Michael and Liam. And Michael and Liam, they met in a Bible study, and they started, one of them invited the other one out for breakfast, and that one breakfast turned into two breakfasts, and that continued, and they started meeting weekly. And they met weekly for 6 months for breakfast and became really good friends. And it started off where they would talk about sports. They both loved sports, but they had rival teams that they rooted for. And so they'd talk trash and all the stuff that guys do. But there was this change that started happening. And Michael and his wife noticed that the demeanor of Liam and his wife had started changing in the Bible study. And they started being less interested about discussing the Bible study and more interested about talking about the church. And a lot of that discussion became critical of the church. And one day they were out to breakfast, and things were kind of awkward, and they were wondering what was going on. And Liam eventually got to the point, and he said, "Michael, you know, Laura and I have decided to leave the church." The pause seemed to last minutes. Neither of the men seemed to know who should speak next. Michael took the initiative and spoke softly and deliberately. "You want to tell me about it?" Michael inquired. He honestly didn't know if Liam wanted to say any more about it. His friends seemed resolute. Nevertheless, Liam began to explain his feelings and decision. "Lon and I went to church to learn deep truths about the Bible," Liam offered, "but Pastor Robert is just not feeding us. We're not getting anything out of his messages. Sitting in the service on Sunday morning is just a waste of our time." Michael didn't respond. He could tell that Liam had more to say. "There are several great people in the church," Liam continued. "You and Karen are the best, and there are a few more like you." He paused, and his facial expression became even more serious. "But honestly, Michael, our church is full of hypocrites. Did you hear Jim at the kids' baseball game? He embarrassed me the way he was screaming at the refs. What kind of testimony is that for a Christian? And of course, everyone knows about Neil. He was supposedly this pillar of the church, and we find out he's been cheating on his wife for over a year. What kind of church is this with these kind of people?" Liam was angry but controlled as he continued to vent. "Look, Pastor Robert acts like he cares for us, but I'm not sure he does. I told him Lana's dad was in the hospital for hernia surgery, and he never visited him." Michael knew that Lana's father was not a church member, and he lived 50 miles away. He also knew that Pastor Robert called him and had prayer with him. But he also knew that any rebuttal would not be appreciated at this moment. Michael held his tongue. Now it seemed that Liam's mild rant was winding down. Liam seemed exhausted, ready to bring the conversation to a close. He did, however, offer a few pointed comments and two insightful questions. "Michael," Liam began softly, "I really like you and Karen and your kids. All of you are a class act." He paused briefly. "But you seem enthused about the church. You keep serving and contributing. Don't take me wrong, but I wonder at times if you were blind to all the problems in the church." Then Liam offered a closing that really spoke more than he realized. "We are really two different types of church members. Why is that? Why do we have such different perspectives?" Two different types of church members. We all have different perspectives about church, and we all evaluate church differently. Now, I've been confronted quite often about how I view church and how other people view church and how it's drastically different often. You know, I grew up in a church that I loved, and a church that was a tremendous blessing to me, and a church that gave me opportunities even to preach as a senior in high school. And yet that church had many problems, but I just loved my church. And I grew up in a family that loved our church, and they taught me that, and I want to teach my kids to love our church. And then I went away to college and attended a church during that time. And after college, I got hired as a youth pastor. And it was a church of 40. And as a church of 40, oftentimes churches get to be that size because there are a lot of problems that come about. But I loved that church. I loved the people. And I would have never left that church if God hadn't called us to move out of state to Michigan. And so then we moved to Michigan, and I went to Kentwood Baptist Church because I lived in Kentwood, and I loved Kentwood Baptist. And there were problems in the church, as there is in every church, but yet I just always loved the church, and I never walked in valuing the church by all the problems they had, and I just loved it, and I never wanted to leave Kentwood. But then another church offered to pay me to go there by being their youth pastor, and so I could work at Wendy's full-time, or I could work as a youth pastor, which I've been pursuing my whole life, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to do that. So I went to First Baptist and honestly thought I was going to be youth pastor till the day I died, and I was going to be someone who attended First Baptist till the day I died. I loved that church. And the hardest thing for me when I felt God calling me to become a lead pastor was I knew that meant I had to leave First Baptist. And it's like leaving a family. It was so hard to wrestle through calling versus this thing that God is calling me to do versus where I'm comfortable. And then God brought me here. And I love North Park. And I love everything about this church. I love all you guys. And yes, we do have our problems. And I'm sure as some of you guys were reading through that or listening to that story, you remember some of the things that happened in the past and some of the people that left our church. And I'm sure that was hard. And it's hard to lose friends and hard to have friends move away. And so church is this unique thing where we're full of people. And one of the biggest criticisms that people bring against the church is they say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, here's the reality of that. It's impossible to live perfect. I don't know if you guys have figured that out yet, but it's impossible to live perfect. And the amazing thing about church is that God calls broken people who have problems to come together and be a family. Amen. You know, and with us broken people, we make mistakes. And so we, as Christians, we say, okay, this is God's standard, this is how we want to live, and this is what we're going to all together as one family pursue. Well, when people make mistakes, yeah, you could say, yes, we're hypocrites because we want to live that way, but we're fallen and broken people, and so we make mistakes. So the church technically is full of hypocrites because we all make mistakes. And we're all striving for this perfection that we can never achieve. But through God's grace, he gives us the grace to forgive and show grace to others when they make mistakes. There's a book that came out a few years ago when the emergent church was really coming on strong. And it was called They Like Jesus, But Not the Church. And it was really a study of the younger generation and how the younger generation viewed Jesus really positively, but viewed the church really negatively. And so in the book, he was kind of describing what was going on and those these different things. And in response to that book, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck wrote a book called Why We Love the Church. And they made this point. Jesus, God, calls the church his bride. And so if we love Jesus, then we have to love the church. Think of it this way. If someone says, Phil, I really like you, but I hate Sandy. Okay, well, see you later then. I'm going to go hang out with my wife who I love, right? Amen. And so we say, I love Jesus. I mean, I like Jesus. I like all the things about Jesus, but his bride, I can't stand her. Well, guess what? If we're called to love Jesus, we're also called to love his bride, and his bride is the church. Now, the Bible describes the church as two different things. There's the universal church, which is every believer in the whole world, and so that's why when I went to Haiti, there was this unique connection when I was worshiping with the people there. I'm like, this is my brother in Christ. This is my sister in Christ. I'm worshiping with family, even though I don't know a lot of these people. There's this uniqueness about the church that's the universal church. But there's also the local church. Groups of people that have joined together for a purpose. We talk often at North Park about, and I say this continually, that we need to be unified around God's Word, continually trying to live and have God's Word be the guide for everything we do, and unified around God's mission to make disciples in all the nations. And so we have different groups, and each church has different strengths and different weaknesses, And each church has different things that draw us to it or sometimes push us away. And there can be good reasons to leave a church, if heresy is coming in the church and other things. And I know that there are different reasons. But I think when we think about the church, we need to really define what is church membership. What does it mean to be a member of a church? And last week I talked about how this is the type of church we want to be. A church that's loving, a church that's accepting, a church that's encouraging, a church that's united around God's word. And I made the statement that the first place to look when evaluating the church is at myself. Because it's really easy to look at other people and say, well, look how they're not accepting and how they're not loving and how they're not caring, rather than to look inward and saying, where am I loving? Where am I caring? Where am I encouraging? Am I coming to church to be the agent of love and care, or am I coming seeking to get that myself? And even the word membership in our society is often really, twisted, because we have all these different things that we're a member of. We're a member of Blockbuster. Well, not anymore, but, back in the day, you remember Friday nights, you go in and you got your membership card and you go in, you pick out the... now we just go on to Netflix or whatever other service you go, and boop, and it's there. But we have different memberships. You have a Sam's Club membership. You pay $50 or however much, I don't know how much it costs, and you go there and you get certain perks. You can get gas for cheaper, and you can buy 972 things of toilet paper, so you don't need toilet paper for the next year. There's really good things about memberships. Sam's Club, the good thing is you get these things in bulk. The bad thing is you always want one thing, but everything comes in a variety pack. So you're like, I only want the chocolate chip ones, but they give me all the oatmeal raisin. Who wants that? Those different kind of things. And then there's like country clubs where you get a membership and you get all these benefits. For the Life Matters Worldwide fundraiser, we went and golfed at Pilgrim's Run Golf Course. And when you if you're a guy, when you go in the bathroom, they have advertisements. So while you're going to the bathroom, you can read stuff. And so the advertisement there was talking about the perks of membership. If you become a member here, you get to hit golf balls anytime you want. You just come out and hit golf balls and all these perks of membership. But membership means more than just the perks. It means that we are all necessary parts of the whole. A country club membership, you pay your dues and you get all the benefits. And a biblical church membership, we're called to give abundantly and serve without hesitation. Biblical membership is functioning membership. It's not just signing up for something on a sheet and getting the benefits. And so God has created the church to exist, these local bodies, one body with many different parts. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul's saying here, look, we all have the same Spirit. We're all one body. So we all have different parts, but it's one body. Verse 15, now if the foot should say to the eye, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. So he's saying, look, so there's some that are eye, there's some that are hand, there's some that are foot. And if the hand says to the foot, look, I don't want to be part of the body, well, it doesn't function very well. If you're an eye in the church and you decide not to function, what do you have? You have a pirate church, Anyways. Okay. So, but when I tore all the ligaments and I tore all three sections in my AC joint, my shoulder, I completely separated my shoulder and I had to wear a brace. What that meant was my body had to adjust without the ability to function with my right arm. I learned something really important. I am horrible at dodgeball with my left hand. I just can't throw left-handed. People are like, just use your left hand. I can't. You know, and so you have to adjust. And so you learn you can do certain things and you can't do certain things. When we went to Haiti, you know, up until Haiti, I'd always had my wife to help me get my shirt on, because I went to Haiti a week after shoulder surgery. And now I had to figure out how to get a t-shirt on without moving my shoulder by myself. So I had to humble myself and say, hey, Ben, my friend Ben, can you help me get my t-shirt on? The worst is, when you can't move your right arm, how do you put deodorant on? So I actually bought one of those little mini hockey sticks, and I taped deodorant on the end of it, and I could go like this. It worked. So there's just different things you can do. But your body has to adjust when one part doesn't work. And that's the same in the church, right? If different parts of the church are not working, the body learns to adjust, but that's not how it's meant to be. God has gifted the church with all different parts, all different strengths. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. There are some parts in the church that people say, well, that's not as important. But Paul's saying here, look, even the parts that seem weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We're a family. When people in our family are suffering, we suffer too. We pray with them, we yearn for them, because membership means that we're all a necessary part of the whole. That God has put us all together for a reason. But membership also means that we are different. It means we are different, but we still work together. An eye does one thing, an ear does another. And we're all shaped differently. You know, the more Snickers you have, you shape. No, not that kind of shape. We're all shaped differently. We all have God has designed each of us uniquely. We all have spiritual gifts. And the moment we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes on us and enables us with spiritual gifts. And some of us may have multiple, others may have one, but God has given each of us at least one spiritual gift. And that gift is something that's unique to us, that God has given to us. And oftentimes our spiritual gifts align with our abilities and our personality and other things. But 1 Corinthians 12, continuing in verse 28, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he goes on to 1 Corinthians 13 to talk about love, which we'll get to in a second. Romans 12 said, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. We all have different spiritual gifts. And the best way to find out what those spiritual gifts are, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, is to serve. You know, when I was a kid, my prayer all the way through middle school and in that time was, God, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to do. I'm willing to do anything you want me to do as long as I don't have to speak in front of people. That was my prayer. I was actually an introvert, if you can imagine that, when I was in middle school and elementary. And then God changed something. And then I was asked by my youth pastor, when I think I was a freshman or sophomore, at a big event, that we were having this youth group event where there's going to be hundreds of teenagers, and he asked me to give my testimony. And I said, well,
but my testimony is kind of boring. You know, I grew up in a Christian church and I accepted Christ at a young age. He said, well, testimony is more than just your salvation story. It's what God is doing in you right now. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And he said, well, just pray about it. Okay. I prayed about it and the Lord was convicting me. So finally I went to him and I said, I'll do it. I remember, you know, I got a mic and handed me the mic and I'm off the stage and I'm like shaking, like scared to death, you know, and I'm getting ready to go up there and how our teenager Phil, and I get up there and immediately I did this. The Holy Spirit calmed my heart. I just didn't shake and I spoke. And God used that. And when I was done, I had all these people saying, Phil, you need to do that more often. I would have never known if the youth pastor hadn't pushed me to do something I wasn't comfortable to do, and I hadn't listened to God and done it. One of the best ways to find out what your spiritual gifts are is to serve. He's fine. Wow, I really like this. And other people say, wow, you're really good at that. And then you start to see, wow, this is where I'm gifted. But God doesn't just use our spiritual gifts. He uses our heart. The things we're passionate about. You know, there are people in this congregation that are passionate about evangelism. And so need to use that. Find ways to use that in their church. There are people in our church that are passionate about baking. And guess what? There are people in our church that need food. And they get injured or something happens. And so you can use things you're passionate about. I remember the first time I started thinking through this was when my teacher in undergrad, he talked about when he was a youth pastor in California, there was a guy that was a youth leader that just loved to surf. And so he's like, man, I just don't feel like I'm gifted in any of these ways. I don't know how to serve in the church. And so this youth pastor said to him, well, you love to surf, right? And he said, yeah, well, why don't you just invite teens to surf with you? And so he started inviting teens to surf with them. And then they started doing a Bible study together. And all of a sudden, there's this group of teens that grew and were growing spiritually and having fun together. And God used the thing that he was passionate about to be used for his glory. Abilities. You know, what skills do you have? Can you use those skills in the church? You know, God has gifted me with the ability to talk, but he has not gifted me with any small motor skills. And so what that means is I'm really bad at fixing things. And so when we moved to the house, we had people that volunteered and came over and helped us do things because I'm just really bad with that kind of stuff. And so God's given us different abilities. And some of you may be struggling with the fact that maybe, you know, when you were younger, you had certain abilities. And now as your strength is going and you're finding that, well, I don't have the ability to use this spiritual gift or things anymore. I just want to encourage you that wherever stage you are in life, God has given us different abilities. And sometimes that ability is just time. We have time to pray, time to write an encouraging letter, time to do something that we know that, you know what, I can't do these things anymore, and it's really a struggle. Or maybe you're even in a season where you got injured, or you're recovering from a surgery, or you've been sick, and you're like, I don't have these abilities anymore, but maybe you have the ability to pray, or the ability to write an encouraging note. So how can your abilities be used for God? Personality. You know, understanding our unique personality, and understanding how that can be used in the church. You know, in our youth ministry, we had a number of leaders that were introverts and extroverts. So with the introverts, they would always come to me, I'm so scared, you know, I feel really nervous going talking to a new student and all those kind of things. Well, God has blessed you with the ability to love being alone. And that's actually a good thing because you can spend time doing things that can be very beneficial. And sometimes introverts love to have like one person with them. And so the best benefit I found with my introvert leaders is they built deep, meaningful relationships with one or two of the students in a way that the extroverts never did. And so God uses our personality and then our experiences. God uses our experiences. The deepest and darkest and hardest parts of my life are the things that God has used the most for his glory. And so you've lost a loved one. You've lost a husband. You've lost a wife. That's the worst thing that could happen. But now you're able to walk through with somebody else who's going through the exact same thing. You've gone through cancer and you've experienced the hardships about that. You're able to walk through that with someone else who's doing the same thing. You have a son or daughter who, when they graduated from high school, you know, they left the faith. And it's really difficult. Well, now you have the ability to walk through with someone else that's going through the same thing. Our experiences shape us, but they also give us an opportunity to work with other people. Maybe you went through bankruptcy and then
you learn the hard way how to handle your money. And you have the opportunity to take a young couple and help them learn how to handle their money well. See, we're all shaped differently. We all have different spiritual gifts and different passions and different things that we're burdened for and different abilities and different personalities and different experiences. But all those shape us uniquely, and they give us a unique shape that works together in the church so that we all come together because we're one body. And one other thing, too, is that at North Park, there's endless opportunities to serve. There's endless opportunities. But we also want to make sure that you don't go to this point where the church has all these needs, so now I'm going to be a superhero. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to fit all the needs, and I'm going to make sure nothing falls through the cracks. Well, I want to encourage you that to think through your own unique shape and find one ministry that you can plug into, that you can be. It fits your spiritual gifts, it fits your heart, it fits your abilities, it fits your personality, and you can be used by God in great ways. And there are other ways where you can still plug in and find other ways to help and be a part, but looking for that way that really fits you to really joyfully jump in. Recap, membership means that we're all necessary parts to the whole. It means that we're all different, but still work together. And it also means that everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Right after talking about spiritual gifts, Paul says this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. The foundation of church membership is love. That's why this series is called I Love My Church instead of Church Membership. It's a little more catchy, but more so because the foundation of church membership is love. We're called to love those next to us. Guess what? When you're in a family, the family dynamics mean that sometimes there's conflict in the family. But you're connected. You're family, and you choose that family bond is deeper. Well, this is a family. And when you choose to be part of North Park, it's committing to love each other in good times and bad, in sickness and in want, those kind of things. You know, it's a foundation of love. That means that we don't just love those that are easy to love. You know, you can come to church and there's that one friend that you both like Michigan and you both hate Michigan State, and so you can't wait to talk to them and then talk about the other guy. Ha ha, you lost, you know. And the people that you really easily get along with, you know, there are those, and those are good relationships. But love means that you love those not only that are easy to love, but those that are hard to love, because love is the foundation of church membership. And what that means is that you show grace when someone fails. You show mercy to someone who's making mistakes again that we know they shouldn't make. Love is the foundation. So membership means we're all necessary parts of the whole. It means we are all different but work together. It means that everything we say and do is based on the biblical foundation of love. And so when we have that kind of foundation, then we think about this. Church membership is a gift. It's not an obligation. It's a gift. And now, I have a son named Joshua, and Joshua, you know, needs motivation like everybody else. Now, I'll give you two different scenarios, and you tell me which one he would prefer. If I tell him, okay, Joshua, here's the deal. Your room has been really messy for the last week, and because it's been really messy, what I want you to do is I want you to clean that room better than you've ever cleaned it before. I want you to do your own laundry, wash the sheets. I want you to go and clean in between the crevices. I want you to get a ladder, even though you're 8, and climb up and you know, dust off everything. And you know, and he says, why? Because you need to do a better job. Now, he would go and clean the room, but he probably wouldn't be very happy about it. Now, what if I did this? Hey, Joshua, here's the deal. Okay? I have this really awesome gift I want to give you. It's really sweet. You're going to love it. But what I want you to do
is I want you to clean the room. And I want you to clean it really well. I want you to have everything cleaned out really well and vacuum, all that stuff. Because I'm super excited to give you this gift. And when you're done with the room, we're going to open the gift and we're going to celebrate together. Which do you think he would prefer? The second one, right? And because when you treat something as a gift, it changes things. Well, I believe that membership is a gift. We become part of that. God has given us this gift of the church. And it's founded in these different gifts. First, the gift of salvation. God's given us the gift of salvation, for it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. So Jesus, through the sacrifice that he committed on the cross, he offered us this gift of salvation. That offer is to anyone who would believe. Anyone who would believe. And so if you're here today and you've never received that gift, I want to encourage you that Jesus has sacrificed himself. He came down this earth. He suffered. He experienced our suffering and ultimately died on the cross so that we can have eternal life. And then how did he choose to, what method did he choose to go and tell his mission? The church. We have this tremendous gift of salvation. And now we have the opportunity to share that gift. Secondly, we have the gift of purpose. Right after saying that in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Paul says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's created us for a purpose. He's created us with gifts. He's created us for works that he's already prepared for us. He has a purpose for us. And then third, we have this gift of community and family. Romans 8, 14 says, For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. It's not an obligation. It's not this thing. Rather, the Spirit received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So you have this gift of community and family. You know, membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole, that we're all different but still work together, that everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love, and that church membership is a gift, not an obligation. So, we think through those things, we have an opportunity to look at membership differently. To look at it as something different than just, you know, a membership to Blockbuster or to Sam's Club or to a country club. But as an opportunity to be part of the family of God, to serve each other, to love each other, to care for each other, to sacrifice for each other, to be part of one body. In the book, Tom Raymer makes this, he makes pledges at the end of each chapter. And this is the first pledge from the first chapter. And I'm not going to make you read it because I don't want you to pledge to it if it's not something that you want to do. But I want to read through this pledge because I believe it's something important to think of. I am a church member. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. Whether I'm an eye or an ear or a hand. As a functioning member, I will give. I will serve. I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Just want to walk away with one thing. I don't want to be a pirate church. Every member at North Park is an important member. No part is less important or more important than the others. We're each a part of the body of Christ. And when you go missing an eye, it affects us. When we have our arm in a sling and we can't use our right arm, it affects us. We're all part of one body. This is one body, one family. And that's why I love my church, because I love my family. I love each week when I come and people have different skills and different abilities and different personalities. and different strengths and different weaknesses. And because of all those different strengths and weaknesses, you know, if we had a whole bunch of Phils, you know, there'd be a lot of different weaknesses. But we don't have those weaknesses because guess what? We have an elder team and they help me with my weaknesses. And I have Bev and she takes care of the organization stuff that I'm bad at. And we have this team. We have people that make this thing work because we're all one body. So if you want to learn more about that and you're interested in learning more, I'd love to, for you to join the New Connections class. But also, I'd just love for us to all think about, okay, what part do I play in the Church of North Park? What role do I have? You know, am I an eye? Am I a foot? Am I a hand? Whatever that is, you're each an important part. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the reminder that we're a church built on the foundation of love because, God, love covers a multitude of sins, as you say in your word. I mean, there's so many times where we make mistakes and we have failures and we fall and we struggle. And yet when we're in a family, there are people there to help pick us up, to help us know that it's okay, that we can walk together, that we've made mistakes too. And when one part is struggling, the rest of us struggle. And today there may be people in this church that are really struggling. Right now, they're really going through it. And maybe they've just kept it to themselves. And they're just trying to do better. If I just work harder. God, today help them know there are people here that want to support them, want to come alongside them, want to be there for them. And God, just help us to understand that this picture of family is a beautiful picture. And you describe the church as your bride, and we have a special calling to see the world know who you are. So God, help us to do that. Help us to be a family that's united around your word and united around your purpose. In your name we pray. Amen.